Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Corum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. I'm back today with my friend Donnie Mabe. Donnie is the head athletic performance coach at the University of Texas, and he's an expert in the field of leadership. Today, we're talking about the number one skill that will make or break your ability to be a leader. We also talk about thriving in the future of work by navigating the shift towards team-based models. He also is going to share his top five book recommendations, which I thought were awesome. This is another great episode on leadership with one of the leading experts on the subject. But before we dive in, please stop this podcast and leave us a rating on whichever listening platform you are joining us from. No, seriously, stop and please do this. It is a small but high leverage action you can take to help us grow. Okay, now let's get to our conversation with Donnie. So let's lean in and learn from the best. Okay, now you're in charge. Now what? And I don't know about you, but I saw this play out so many times in professional and college football. There was a really good coordinator, excellent at the technical and tactical aspects of the game. And then they, according to the Peter principle, became a head coach. And then they're like, just totally blew it. I think people get into these roles and they're like, what do I do now? How do you prepare for that moment in advance?
I think the simplest way to do that, and I'll give you an example of my own life. Before I got promoted to director, I knew I wanted to be a director at some point. I didn't know when it would happen. I didn't know if the opportunity would come 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And so what I started doing was, I'll give you something simple, was we had a position open. We run summer camps and there was this camp director position open. And I was like, I went into my boss and go, hey, I want to crack at this, man. It doesn't pay much. It's a ton of work. And I said, I want to crack. He didn't want to give it to me. He's like, you've never been a camp director. And I don't know. Maybe we split up the responsibilities and between you and some staff. I go, no, I said, coach, I want it. So let me have it. I'm telling you, I can handle it. And he was real skeptical at first, and he gave it to him. And I'm telling you right now, that summer when I ran camps, and when I say summer, it's about a 6 to 8 month ramp up before you even get to camps. I learned how to do paperwork. I built new relationships in the business office. I learned how to read contracts. I dealt with bus drivers, mad parents because I didn't run the camp right. I had to come up with and create my own employee policy because I had to hire coaches and screen them and get them approved to work with kids. I had to deal with disciplinary issues with employees and kids. I had to do follow-up and deal with employees that were disgruntled because we didn't pay them enough or they didn't get their check in time. And I had to deal with marketing and branding to get the word out. And so, man, if you really want to prepare yourself for that kind of stuff, you got to get into a role that maybe the stakes aren't as high, but the pressure's real, the timelines are real, and it's like a training course for you to be a leader. So I think you can do little things. It doesn't always have to be this high level position that pays a lot, but you got to pay the price still to get ready for it.
So you're saying you got to pay the price in advance to be a leader. It can't be something that's just going to happen.
Yeah, you got to be the 360 degree leader by John Maxwell. That's the position myth, right? He says, one day when I get to position, then I'll become a leader. And you can't do that. You got to start thinking like a leader way before the position even appears. Because what ends up happening with me was I did the camp stuff. I took some courses. And then they ended up creating this position years down the road. I didn't even know they were going to create this director position. And because I'd done all this stuff prior, they're like, Donnie, you're our guy. Like, we've seen you working. We got this new position. We want you to be our leader for that department. And if you don't want it, we'll open it up. But we will not give you the first dibs on it. And I took it and ran with it. But again, I was very intentional and proactive, not looking for a position, just preparing myself for wherever that would be, whether it was Texas or somewhere else.
Is that the job you have today?
That's it.
How about that? And how many years have you been the director?
That was 2011. I took it. So what's that? 13?
Yeah. My goodness. That's awesome. I love this. You are a voracious reader. Like, you read a lot. I just know that, like, you read, how many books do you read a month?
My reading routine is so sporadic. Right now, we had one of our assistants take a job. I have got no time to read. I'm actually kind of in a little bit of this pivotal role of using a little bit more Audible because I drive into work.
Yeah.
So I've been doing Audible some. But if I could read, I'd probably read 2 or 3 books a month easy if I could.
What are your top 5 books? If somebody comes to you and like, I want to be a better leader, I want to be a better teammate, besides yours, what are the top 5 books that you would recommend?
The Bible on leadership to me is the 21 Irrefutable Laws by John Maxwell. I mean, that's like foundational. It's easy read. It's simple. It's memorable. It'll give you the laws of like what it takes to be a good leader. So that would be one. Now, if you want to go a little deeper dive, a stake is The Leadership Challenge by Coos and Posner is their name. That's a really big book. That's more research-based. Gives you a lot of data on kind of different ways to lead from the military and business. That book is phenomenal. That would be two. One of my all-time favorites that I just have never forgotten. If you've never read this one, this is an easy read. Probably can read it in a week or even a couple of days. But it's called Lincoln on Leadership by Donald T. Phillips. Absolutely astounding read. So that would be three. One of my all-time other favorite books on leadership. It's pretty recent. Team of Teams.
Love it.
Stanley Mitchell. That is probably the best organizational top-down leadership book. I could keep going. Probably my fifth one would be probably either Simon Sinek's like Leaders Eat Last. He gets into all the neurotransmitters in leadership, which I kind of nerd out on, of like why people fail at leadership, because we're so dopamine based, where we need to create more serotonin, where we actually bond with people relationally. And it's a more of a selfless feeling you get within yourself. You're giving back to your people you're leading. And I think we're so focused on the screen today that we've got to get back to more of that in-person, face-to-face stuff if you really want to be a great leader. People care, man. People care, you know. It's like that old saying, like, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You got to show people you care if you can, so.
How do you break through that and bond with people that you're working with?
The more I do this, I think it's so simple, Eric. You've really just got to sit down and listen to people. I have found out as I've gotten older, I do a lot less talking and a lot more just listening. If somebody can come out of your meeting and they really know you, you had empathy and compassion and you really listened to them and they know you did when you walk out of that room, they garner a lot more respect and loyalty towards you just because of that right there, because you showed them right there that you care enough to put your phone up, to get off your email, to stop your day and go, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I want to help. That right there will take you so much further than any org chart or email or team building thing you could ever do, just sitting down with people.
I love that. That's so true. Connecting with a human. Like right now, I work in it with a team that's virtual. I sometimes feel very alone. You know, I'm in my office and I have to get out and like deliberately connect with other human beings. That's why my church and my friend group is really important. But something I learned from a neuroscientist at UPenn is that the way that you position your camera can really help with human connectivity.
Oh, that's cool.
Instead of being like this, like people can't see, I'm like looking off. You ever had a Zoom call with somebody and you're seeing like the side of their head or the bottom of their chin? You're not doing that on purpose. But if you actually like look into the camera lens, it takes some discipline. You're going to have a better personal connection with that person. But yeah, like I'm craving the day that I can have a team back together in an office and at least have 2 or 3 people to just spend time with. Because we need each other. There's a lot of research that have come out of the pandemic period that is demonstrating that like people that had greater social connectedness during lockdown periods were more resilient to stress. You know, isolated is not a good thing.
No, there's a lot that goes into that, right? I mean, like you said, the human connection is so powerful. And I think just the creativity, the inspiration. I think right before the pandemic, I was over in Australia. I got to visit the New South Wales Institute of Sport. And just saw how their rooms are, you know, in a big school like this, we're so siloed in different offices. And they put everybody in one office. And I know that probably drives them crazy sometimes, but there's a lot of good stuff that comes out of being kind of around each other. So yeah, you're spot on, spot on. It helps.
If you're looking for a speaker for your next event, I'd love to come out and share with your team how they can turn stress into strength. Leaning on my experience in developing world-class athletes and my doctoral work in stress resilience, I'll teach your team an actionable framework for how they can build the capacity for more stress with less cost so they can consistently operate at an elite level. In the past year, I've shared this message with wealth managers, investors in commercial real estate, CPAs, and more. If you're interested in learning more, click the link in the show notes or visit www.ericcorum.com. So with the future of leadership, do you see anything changing? As you look forward, like, what do you think are going to be the most important critical qualities for somebody to have if they want to be effective in like the next 10 years?
I think you're seeing this with your career path. I am totally seeing this right now. And it's in that book I referenced, Team of Teams. We're really moving to a team-based model. I think what we're going to need in the future, because I've already seen it here, the really good organizations can move really fast. Like I always say it here, like if we could just get out of our way at Texas, we'd be great, right? And a lot of times the totem pole, right, culture, top down, it still works. But to me, in the future, at some point, that's going to die out. And you're going to see more of these multiple teams operating with a very fluid structure of how they maneuver. And that's going to take a greater level of humility. And you're going to have to go back to the core value of like, look, a rising tide raises all ships. And so it's going to have a unique blend of people that are highly skilled and trained, but it's all about the win. It's not about their ego or them being out front and getting all the likes and the comments. So, but I think it's going to be a while still because, you know, egos are still big. And whenever you got money, you're always going to have a lot of egos. But I think that's kind of what I've seen the trend that works really well, just going back to a team-based approach in leadership. You ever heard of a guy by the name of Tim Elmore, Eric?
Yes.
He kind of addresses this, and I forget the talk he did, but he calls it like a command and control. Like he's got these different words. It's kind of a weird deal, but it's kind of, he calls it a poet gardener style of leadership. So if you think about poets, right, they can make the words all sound beautiful and they can change stuff and move it around. So a poet kind of has this ability of changing things so it flows and it's eloquent and it works really well, it sounds good. But then a gardener has this ability to nurture and kind of plant things and water and grow things. So it's going to be this blend of this team of teams and like, right, this poet, like their ability to change things around fluidly wise, right? Or a gardener where you're in there, you got to go around. Maybe you got four teams you're overseeing, but two of them need to be nurtured. And then maybe two of them you need to go pick weeds a little bit. You know, you need to pull out the weeds. So it's going to be some different styles, I think, in the future that I'm seeing that's going to be effective. So it's kind of a cool time to be alive, leadership wise.
Donnie, if somebody's been listening to this the past two episodes and like, man, this is some good stuff, like how can somebody connect with you?
Probably easiest, just Instagram, and that's at Donnie May, just my full name. And you can DM me there. Would be probably the quickest and easiest.
Awesome. Well, Coach, I appreciate your time today. Man, I'm so thankful there's guys and leaders out there like you that are making an impact, that have really decided to study this topic of leadership and being a great teammate and then putting into practice. So I wish you the best and I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Eric. Great conversation. You know, I could talk leadership all day, so, but thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed the past two episodes with Donnie, make sure to grab a copy of his book, The Secret Sauce of Leadership. You're going to want to keep it right next to your bed. It's full of tons of actionable information. It's an easy, but very thoughtful read. Until next time, stay critical, stay curious, and keep chasing excellence.